Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the house of God. It's wonderful in the Lord's presence. David said that we're encompassed about with songs of deliverance in the house of the Lord, prophetic songs, and our head is lifted up above our enemies. David said, I desire the house of the Lord. One thing have I desired, because in that house of the Lord, when the presence of God comes in among his people, he said, my head is lifted up above my enemies. God sets me on a rock. He says, I begin to rejoice and sing, and prophetic utterance comes upon my life. The promises of God become real, and I believe God again for everything that he's spoken to my life and my family. Hallelujah. The Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I pray that that's the kind of spirit we have today. Lord, do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. And let me walk into your inheritance. Let me walk into your promises. Let me walk into your future with a spirit of faith. The message today is prophecy doesn't fulfill itself. Prophecy doesn't fulfill itself. I trust today that we've come and that we have a prophetic spirit. A future-forwarding spirit, a spirit that believes God. We must believe God for our own lives individually, for our development, for our growth, for our progress in Christ, the fulfillment of our own ministry. We must believe God that we can present him with a godly kingdom family, sons and daughters, families that are sold out to the work of the Lord and the kingdom of God. And to believe God for this church, this is our family, that this place would be filled with the glory of God, that this house of God would have the glory of God in it. It would be a house of prayer, a house of ministry, a house of salvation and healing, a prophetic spirit. Acts 2:17, the Lord said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, every person that comes into the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit upon them. And sons and daughters will prophesy. They will speak by inspiration. They will speak prophetically. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. Upon men servants and maid servants, God says, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. They're going to speak by declaration. They're going to speak things into the future. They're going to speak creative life by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, prophecy doesn't fulfill itself. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, New King James. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? With whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They didn't believe. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel, the good news, was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. The gospel, the prophecies, the promises of God which they heard did not profit them because they were not mixed with faith in those who heard them. They didn't act. They didn't respond to the word of the Lord. Now that first generation that came out of Egypt, who lived in a far less state than God desired for them, my, they had incredible prophecies. They had promises of God. Can you imagine coming out of Egypt, the blood of the lamb applied to your house, firstborn in every house of the Egyptians dies, and your house is safe because of the blood of the lamb? The plagues of Egypt have fallen. The gods of Egypt have been destroyed. The land has been destroyed. The judgments of God fell on that place. And in one night, God released his people with silver and gold, and there wasn't a feeble one among the tribes. The waters of the Red Sea, the waters parted and they walked through. The cloud came upon them, the presence of God. My, there was such a deliverance, such a prophecy upon them. God says, I'm taking you to the inheritance I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is a land before you flowing with milk and honey, and I want you to possess it. I want you to go in. It's the glory of all lands. It's the place of my presence and life and inheritance for you. Every one of you will have a place of your own. Your sons and daughters and families, every one of you will abide under your vine and under your fig tree. You'll be full of the blessing of the Lord. God said, first we're going to stop at Mount Sinai. I'm going to give you my law. I'm going to bring you into a covenant understanding. And then the Bible says that it was 11 days journey from Mount Horeb to Kadesh Barnea. But at Kadesh Barnea, the people stumbled. The people stumbled. Deuteronomy 1, 2 to 3. It is 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. 11 days, God said, and now let's go into the land. Now it came to pass in the 40th year, 11 days journey, take the land. It came to pass in the 40th year because they stumbled at Kadesh Barnea. They did not mix faith with the prophecies. They did not mix action with the word of the Lord and the promises of God in their life. Caleb and Joshua at Kadesh Barnea said, let us go up at once, for we are well able to overcome the giants. We can take this land. We can take this inheritance. But the people said, they were persuaded, we're not able to take it. Moses, Joshua, and Caleb and their families wanted to go in. But the people said, we can't go in. And the truth of the matter this morning is, when it comes on a corporate level, Moses can't go into the promised land all by himself. Moses couldn't go into the land of promise. A few families, Moses, Joshua, Caleb, but they couldn't go into the promised land by themselves because it takes a people, it takes a congregation. We can only go in together. And every one of us is important to believe God for the inheritance, to believe God for His will, for His promises, to make sure we mix faith with the prophecies, with the promises of the Lord. On our own, we can gain some revelation like Moses. Moses went up into the heights of God's presence. He received incredible revelation and understanding of God. Like Moses, we can top Mount Nebo and gaze out that breathtaking splendor from Mount Nebo over the land. You can gain some incredible things by yourself in the presence of the Lord, but we can never take the promised land unless we go in as a people. The whole congregation moving together in faith in the power and the presence of the Lord. And everyone said, amen. Prophecy doesn't fulfill itself. That generation had to turn and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They lived far below what God had for them. A wilderness life, God took care of them, but they never did step into the Canaan promise because they wouldn't believe God. Prophecy, number one, needs faith. Prophecy needs faith. It needs to be mixed with faith. Hebrews 4:2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Such powerful prophecies of Canaan life and inheritance, but those promises did not profit because they must be mixed with response, with action, with faith. 1 Timothy 1:18 to 19, the Apostle Paul said, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith, or some translations, being armed with faith, with a believing spirit and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. They didn't make their port of destination. They didn't fulfill the word of God. They didn't come to the inheritance God had destined upon them because they rejected faith or a good conscience, and they didn't make the port. Number one, we need to mix faith in with the prophecies of the Lord. There must be a response. There must be an action of faith, believing God, declaring His word, doing practical things that fulfill the promise and the life of God. Number two today, prophecy needs prayer. Prophecy needs prayer. Many of us have wonderful prophecies over our lives, over our children, over this house of God, definitely. But prophecy needs prayer because prophecy doesn't fulfill itself. Prophecy doesn't fulfill itself. God has spoken, but prophecy doesn't fulfill itself. It needs prayer. Daniel 9, 1 to 3. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayers and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Daniel said, I understood by the scrolls of Jeremiah that the Lord was going to accomplish 70 years in the Babylonian captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, 70 years in the desolations. And now it was the first year of Darius, and Daniel began to count up the years, and he realized he was only 1 or 2 years from the fulfillment of 70 years of captivity. Daniel didn't say, whatever will be, will be. God spoke his word. It's up to him to fulfill it. No, Daniel understood that God does nothing in this world but by the believing prayers of his people. And Daniel set himself to fasting and prayer, sackcloth and ashes, supplications, calling on the name of the Lord. And he prayed and he sought God for a season of time. And all of a sudden, the king said, the Lord God of heaven has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem. Whoever is willing, let him go up with provision and build the house of the Lord. Daniel was there to birth the prophecy in prayer. Prophecy needs prayer. Elijah, James chapter 5. If you go back to 1 Kings 17 and 1, Elijah stood in the presence of King Ahab, and he said, there will not be dew or rain upon this land, but according to my word. But according to my word. In 1 Kings 18 and 1, it was in the third year, 3 years later, Elijah came back to the king and said, the Lord has said it's time for the rain to come again. Now we look at those words and we see that the word of the Lord was in Elijah. There will be no rain for 3 years. And then he came again and said, there will be rain. But it wasn't simply declaration that Elijah made before the king. Because James chapter 5, 17 and 18 tell us what was behind the scenes. It says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Behind the declaration, behind the prophecy that came through that man of God was intense and earnest prayer, seeking God, believing God for that word to come into fulfillment in the earth. He prayed earnestly. He called out on God. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. The effective, fervent prayer of one righteous person accomplishes, avails much. That's James 5:16, just before the Elijah passage in verse 17. The effective, fervent prayer, or the effectual, fervent prayer. The Greek word is the energized prayer. The spirit-energized prayer. The prayers that the Holy Spirit begins to pray through a person accomplish much. They accomplish much. The prayers of one person accomplish much. Elijah praying that it would not rain. And then we understand in 1 Kings 18 when he made the declaration on Mount Carmel that the rain would come again. That it says that Elijah cast himself to the ground. He bowed himself to the ground with his face between his knees. And he began to pray earnestly that the rain would return. And he sent his servant up the hill. And you know the story. The servant ran up to the top of Mount Carmel and came back. I don't see any clouds. There's no sign of rain. And Elijah prayed again. And the seventh time that servant returned and said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, let's get up and get ready because I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And the rains came. Elijah was a man of prayer. He didn't say, whatever will be. Lord, if this is your word, you fulfill it. He knew that prophecy needs prayer in order to find fulfillment. And so it does in our lives and in our families and in this church of Jesus Christ. Pray without ceasing. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to begin to pray through you. When you come to the prayer room, when you go to your prayer knees, say, Holy Spirit, begin to pray through me. Because the Bible says, out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit. Life-giving, refreshing rivers that bring life and create atmosphere and bring blessing in the land. Pray out of your innermost being. Romans 8 and 26, the Apostle Paul said that we do not know how to pray for things as we should. The Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. He helps our weaknesses. He helps our lack of understanding. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit begins to pray through us with groanings which cannot be uttered in our native language, in articulate speech. The Holy Spirit begins to pray through us and makes intercession for the will of God. The Holy Spirit begins to pray through us and make intercession for the unfolding will of God. The Apostle Paul said, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. I speak in tongues more than you all. And you look at the life of that Apostle Paul as he walked in the revelation and power and ministry of the Lord. He said in 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks mysteries, divine secrets, prophetic prayers, prophetic declarations of the Lord. As we begin to speak in other tongues, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, speak much in other tongues. Pray much in the Holy Ghost, because when you're praying and you're worshiping God in other tongues, out of you is flowing the direct, unhindered intercessions of the Holy Spirit in your life. You are making intercession according to the will of God. And isn't it wonderful as we speak in other tongues? The Bible says, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. And how at times the Holy Spirit gives us discernment and understanding. We know what we're praying for. People come to our mind. Situations come to our mind. Prayers pour out of our heart. And we know what's happening inside of us. Isaiah said, 28:11, for with stammering lips and another tongue, God will speak to this people. With stammering lips and another tongue, God will speak to this people. If you want to hear God speak in your heart and give you prophetic insight and flashes of understanding and revelation, and your life becomes alive in the Holy Spirit, begin to speak with other tongues, because in other tongues, God speaks to his people. What a glorious avenue. What a glorious avenue of life. Baptized with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives us utterance. Prophecy needs prayer. Look at the life of our blessed Lord Jesus. My, did he have a call of God on his life? None like it. Prophecies, promises. You'd think if anybody could shirk on prayer, it would be the Son of God. I mean, God's going to do what he's going to do through this Son of his. Pure, undefiled, surrendered. And yet we read, rising up a great while before day, he went out into a solitary place. He went out into the mountain to pray and seek his Father. Spend much time in communion with Father. All those prophecies over Christ, wouldn't they just automatically unfold? No, prophecy needs prayer to be fulfilled. And Jesus was in the presence of his Father, pouring out his soul. Hebrews 5:7 says, in the days of his flesh, in the days of his flesh, that is his earthly life, in the days of his flesh, not just when he came to the cross, in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to hear him. Have you entered into the realm of strong crying and tears before the Lord? If not, ask God to break your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, begin to do a work in my life. I'm too rigid. I'm too hard. I can't flow like I need to. Holy Spirit, come until prayers and supplications and intercessions, strong crying and tears flow out of my life so I can make intercession according to the will of God. Come to a great fulfillment in the prayer life of a saint. In Gethsemane, as he faced that final hour, he was coming to the end of his life and the conclusion of his work in God. I think as we grow more and more in the Lord, we should be more and more prayerful. More and more prayerful. The Bible says in Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, and then he went a little further and prayed more earnestly, the Bible says. He went a little further and prayed more earnestly. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. We have glorious promises. We have glorious prophecies on our lives, on our children, our families, on this house of God. Prophecy needs prayer to find fulfillment. Number three, prophecy needs preparation. Proverbs 16:1, the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. We prepare, and all of a sudden there's an answer from the Lord, an open door. Something transpires in the will of God. Preparing, and all of a sudden there's an answer from the Lord. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer comes from the Lord in his time, in his way. But we are the ones who must prepare. And so we spend much time in preparation to fulfill the will of God. Study, music lessons, disciplines, practice, faithfulness, church attendance. So many things that fall into this area of preparation. We don't sit idly by hoping something will happen. We know our business. We know we must prepare. We must seek the Lord. We must do everything we can to gain the knowledge of the Lord and knowledge for life. And you think in the area of vocations, God put something in your heart as a young person. You want to be a tradesperson, or you want to be in the medical field, or you want to be in the teaching profession. Whatever it is, there's this dream in your heart, this stir in your heart. There's not a person here who would think or believe that you could sit idly by and somehow end up positioned and prospered. There's not a person here who doesn't know you have to study, you have to go to school, you have to excel, you have to give yourself to diligence and discipline and guide your heart. Prepare until the day you graduate, until a day opens and you receive the promotion or you receive the opportunity for vocation. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer is of the Lord. Whatever word of God is on our life, if it's children's ministry, if it's worship department, if it's pastoral ministry, it doesn't matter in the natural or the spiritual. If there's a call of God on our life to some area, natural or spiritual, we must prepare. We must take great pains to prepare our lives before the Lord so he can use us. John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. The word of the Lord over him by his father was, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Verse 80 says, so the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. John the Baptist, incredible prophecies, incredible call of God on his life to be a forerunner of Jesus Christ, to bring the baptism of repentance into Israel and turn a nation back to God. 30 years of preparation, filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, and he began to grow and develop, grew in stature, he grew in favor with God and with men, he was submissive, he was orderly, carried his life properly. The Bible says he grew strong in spirit. It's only one way you grow strong in spirit, and that is through prayer, through intercession, through seeking God, through searching the Word of God. He grew strong in spirit. And then he began to separate himself, probably in his mid-teen, late-teen years, spend more and more time with God until one day on the banks of the River Jordan, God said, it's time. And he said, prepare the way of the Lord. And a nation broke in repentance. And thousands upon 10,000 were baptized in the Jordan. 30 years of preparation on that life to bring that kind of breakthrough. Prophecy needs preparation. Finally, number four, prophecy needs perseverance. Hebrews 6:12. That you do not become sluggish. Bible's clear, it's a temptation to the people of God. That you do not become sluggish, idle. The marginal says lazy. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It takes faith. You must mix the word with faith. You must act on the prophecy, the promises of God, through faith and patience. It's going to take some time. It often takes a long time. Through faith and perseverance, we inherit the promises of God. We're all familiar with Joseph of Genesis. Psalm 105, 17 says these words about Joseph. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons, or iron took hold of his soul. His soul was laid in iron until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders the word of God. Joseph taught the elders of Egypt the wisdom of God. Joseph, as we know, 17 years of age, had the dream of God in his heart. He wore a coat of many colors. He had two dreams. One, he saw sheaves bowing down to him. And the other dream, he saw the sun, moon, and 11 stars bowing down to him. But between the dream and the destiny of God, between the dream of God and the destiny of God, were 13 years of great trial and suffering. Great processing. The word of the Lord tested him. It refined him. It smelted him. It dealt with his character. It dealt with his heart. Joseph was faithful through the years of testing. Not everyone is. Some people fall to immorality and never see the fulfillment of the word of God on their life. Some fall to bitterness and never see the fulfillment. Some fall to resentment, discouragement, idleness. They give up, they faint, and they never see the fulfillment of the word of God because prophecy doesn't fulfill itself. But Joseph, when he was tested in all those ways, he cast himself on God. When he was falsely accused, when he was rejected, when he was imprisoned, when he was broken by so many circumstances, he cast himself on the presence of God, and that word of God was testing him. But he said, Lord, I believe your word. I believe your promises on my life. And one of the reasons God gives us dreams and visions in the beginning, one of the reasons God gives us prophecies, is so that we, when we enter into the sufferings of those promises, that we know God has something greater and better in store for us down the road. Hallelujah. When we enter into the sufferings, when we enter into the trial, when we enter into the discouragement, when we enter into the hopelessness, when we enter into the contradiction of circumstances, we know God has something better for us. And that word that tests us, will also hold us. It'll hold us. It'll hold us until we see the fulfillment of the word of God upon our lives. Hallelujah. Prophecy takes perseverance. Perseverance. Don't give up in the day of battle. Run to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I'm pursued by the enemy. I'm pursued by circumstances. My, it seems so dark right now where I am. I must get to the house of God. I must get into the name of the Lord. I'm going to be lifted up. I'm going to be set aloft. My mind's going to clear. My spirit's going to come to faith once again. And I'm going to be able to stand in this battle. Day after day, his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We walk in the power of the light of the Lord, the promises of God. The Virgin Mary, the angel of the Lord appeared to her, said, Mary, blessed and highly favored and troubled. Blessed and highly favored. My, what a prophecy, what a promise, what a call of God on her life. The Bible says she was blessed and highly favored and troubled. Troubled at the call. Troubled at the cost. And if she'd be able to carry this weight, carry this burden of the Lord, carry this call of God to fulfillment, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. She says, if others rejoice and I weep, be it unto me according to your word. If others live in comfortable houses and I give birth in a barn and flee as a fugitive into Egypt, be it unto me according to your word. If others reign in life and a sword goes through my own soul in the call of God, so be it. Be it unto me according to your word. And that sword passed through her soul so decisively and finally as her son hung on the cross of Calvary. But no one gave a greater gift to this world than the Virgin Mary. And that family with her husband Joseph, the gift of God to the world. How many are thankful for Mary today and what she did? Felt the pages of Scripture. Abraham, Joseph, these people carried the call of God. They carried the prophecies of God. And when I read their stories, Esther and Ruth, Daniel, the prophets, and the New Testament apostles, I am so thankful that those men endured and persevered in the call of God because they gave us the gift of God and they helped bring us into the inheritance that we stand in today. Ananias, there's a young convert in town. Saul of Tarsus, he's here in Damascus. Ananias shuddered, the persecutor of the saints. The Lord said, no, he's come to faith. I want you to go down to the street called Straight. I want you to go to the house of prayer and praise, the house of Judah, because there's a man in there, and I want you to lay hands on him, and I want you to prophesy over him, because he's a chosen vessel of mine. He's going to bear my name before kings and the children of Israel and the nations of the world. He's going to break open the world to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want you to show him as well how great things he will suffer for my name's sake. And that's the call of God upon every one of us. Chosen vessels, great prophecies, but there's not one of us who doesn't enter into sufferings as we work out the will of God, as we stand against satanic opposition, as we come against our own flesh life, as we come against the discouragement of people and circumstances. And we must persevere. Do not become sluggish. Do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith, believing spirit, and patience, perseverance, have obtained the promises of God. Worship team, come. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all the men and women of Scripture that have triumphed and are now in the grandstands of heaven, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, the besetting sin, that human infirmity that ensnares every one of us. Let us lay aside those weights and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Galatians 6 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint. If we do not faint, do not be weary. Follow on to know the Lord. Prepare, pray, persevere. Mix faith with every word of God. When discouragement comes, when temptation or trial comes in the day, when there's an affliction that comes against your body, rise up in faith. Take the word of God. Begin to prophesy it. Begin to declare it. Break the pressure of the circumstance. At least let the peace of God come into your heart in that moment. And then work out your salvation. Work out the promise of God. Whether it takes days or weeks or months, you persevere, because what God has spoken, he will fulfill. As we mix faith in with the promises of the Lord, let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap if we do not faint. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. Are there any here this morning that Holy Spirit is particularly putting this word into your heart? There's a fresh call on your life to believe God. Believe God for his promises. Maybe you've been discouraged. Maybe people have discouraged you and life has worn you down and you've kind of set aside the word of the Lord. Just going to try and make it through. Do the best I can. This morning, the Holy Spirit's calling you to a fresh encounter with his word and his presence with believing faith. If that's you, please slip out from where you are. Come to the altars. Come to the front this morning. Receive some prayer. Receive encouragement. Make a fresh commitment to take the word of the Lord in your heart, in your life. So I will speak the word of the Lord. I will mix faith with what God has spoken. Trial. Discouragement, long season of unfulfillment, I'm going to present to the Lord a spirit that has faith in it. I'm going to believe God for destiny in my life, fulfillment of his word. Any others this morning? Take the opportunity. Any others this morning? Take the opportunity. Step into the presence of God. Seal this word in your heart. Say amen to this word in your heart. Rise up in a new day of victory and strength for your life, for your family, for this house of God, for the purpose of God in the earth. Hallelujah.